So the big question is this: what would you do if money didn't matter? Say you had millions in your bank account, what would you focus on? Would you spend more time with your family, with your wife, with your kids, take family vacations? Would you pursue your gifts and talents and dreams, serve your local community, teach others, serve your church community? You see, if what you would do if money didn't matter is pursue your gifts and talents and dreams to serve others, then that is probably what you should be doing. The problem is most people are in the rat race, living 5 inches in front of their face with no time to pursue what they were born to do. That is the problem, and the solution is to develop enough passive income to replace your working income so you can quit your job and be free to live your life the way you were created to. That is the solution, and this podcast will show you how.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Ryan Ank with Cashflow Dad Life coming at you with another awesome episode. We have a really awesome guest with us today, Chris Prefontaine. He has a family real estate company. They're doing, you know, they don't just mentor people, but they're also out there in the trenches. They're doing 2 to 4 deals a month. They also partner with students in certain geographical areas. And what they really specialize in is buying on terms. So super excited to have him on our show today to share with you guys some of the wisdom. You know, I always talk about different creative ways to purchase real estate. It's always awesome to get as many brains together and to put that wisdom together to see if there's new ways of doing it that we maybe not be exposed to before. So it's a huge pleasure to have on the show Chris Prefontaine. Chris, can you hear me all right on your mic?
I can. If you can hear me, we're good. And thanks for having me.
Awesome. So give me a little bit about your backstory. How did you've got a family-owned company. How did you get started in real estate? What was the appeal there?
Well, so this business was 2013, but I'm going to date myself here, 1991. So I started building homes, what I called spot building back then. We were just putting signs on people's lots and not buying the lot, pre-selling it with a new construction package, and then everybody cashed out at the end. It was pretty cool. I had no money to start it, so that's how we had to start it. Did that all through the early 90s.
You put signs on other people's lots without owning it first?
Yeah, they let permission, put the sign on, put a package together on it, and pre-sold that whole package. And everyone, including the suppliers, waited till the very end to get paid. So it was pretty neat.
So that was just kind of like a wholesaling type thing.
Yeah. We actually built the home too.
Did you really?
Yeah. Back then. So that's what got us started. 95, I bought a Realty Executives franchise. So I put the realtor hat on back then. And then 2000, I sold that to Coldwell Banker. Mm-hmm. And then in the early 2000s, we were doing a bunch of the condo conversions, you know, 2, 3, 5, 6, 12 unit buildings, turn them into condos, resell. Mm-hmm. Market was cranking, then it was good. And then in the lovely 2008 debacle caused us to reevaluate everything, which is what we have today, which is, you know, not using our own money, not taking out bank loans, all the mistakes I made in 08.
Mm-hmm. So what were some of those challenges back in 08?
Well, signing personally on bank loans, and then when the market dove, you know, major headaches. And so that took from literally, I can remember like it was yesterday, February of 08 through about February of 12 to clean that mess up, you know, foreclosure, short sales, liquidate everything we could, 20 something properties, and then reevaluate, readjust 2013 and just do terms.
So it sounds like back then, were you trying mostly to flip? You're just like developing and flipping these properties?
Prior to the crash?
Yeah.
We held some commercial, but yeah, all those condominium conversions, yeah, you'd buy them and try to flip them. And then what happened was, I can remember one project, Ryan, we had 170 sales price. We had 6 units. We sold 3 like that. And then literally like a switch was turned, we couldn't get 50 grand for them when the market dove.
Yeah.
That's a big dive.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge dive. Yeah.
Yeah. So the whole construction thing, as you know, with all the TV shows out there, I mean, I think it's a tough market now, so I stay away from it.
Mm-hmm. So you mostly focus on buy and hold investments, or are you still flipping?
We don't flip. I mean, if something comes our way, we know how to do it, and everybody should, right? You mm-hmm. and I know how to pivot if we get a deal. But we primarily buy owner financing or lease purchase right now.
Okay. So that's interesting how you came across that strategy. So it spawned from kind of this pain in the market where you had some stuff that you were flipping, and then all of a sudden that dove, and now you're all of a sudden saying, all right, banks are a problem and flipping is a problem. It's kind of this speculation game.
Right.
And you don't know what the market's going to do at the end of the day. You know, right. Some people knew, you know, but most people didn't. And so now you've developed a strategy around buying on terms. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that works?
Sure. So we buy three ways. I'll focus on one with you. We buy owner financing. And I know owner financing people say, I get that. But owner financing to us means what? It means we're going to buy a property that's free and clear. And we're going to buy that with no money down. And then we're going to set up monthly principal only payments to the seller for some term. Usually it's 4 to 6 years. And we get it, you know, think about it. If you're hammering down principal every month, you got a nice little hedge against any market changes. You got some serious equity building every month. And of course, no banks.
Mm-hmm. So how does that negotiation work? Because getting a owner to finance something to you and convincing them that they should not get interest on that financing, that's got to be a challenging conversation.
This is good you brought this up because people say, come on. I mean, why would people do that? We just did a 10-acre estate in Pennsylvania for, let me think, bought it for like $429. It wasn't about price. He was trying to sell it with a realtor for $599 and then $550, then $4-something. What became the issue was he had to go to Texas to see his family and relocate. So he just ran out of time. He had no debt on it. He just wanted to get no lower than the $429. So we said, great, we'll give you your price. And we'll pay you $1,540 a month. It's never about convincing. It's always about looking at what their motivation is, the underlying motivation, always. And I tell our students that. They'll say, what do you think about this deal? What about this deal? Just tell me what the motivation is. Like, what are the dates? Do they have to move somewhere? All the other stuff can be worked out, right?
Yeah.
The only people we can help is if someone says, I need cash now to go buy XYZ house with my family. Okay, I'm not a fit for you. Every other scenario you can throw at us, we're a good fit. And then we exit all our properties by rent to own, all of them.
Okay.
That's how we sell them.
Awesome. Yeah, so that gives you that cash flow and that upfront payment as well.
Yeah. It's nice. I mean, my book is talks about the three paydays. I'm big on that because everyone that you and I talked to, I'm sure could use three paydays per deal.
Yeah. Everybody loves three paydays.
Yep.
So tell me what market range does this work best in, you know, as far as the pricing
good,
and stuff?
Good topic. So in my market, 190 to like 590, but every market's a little different. We have one of our associates, we call him, we do deals with students. He's in DC. So he's like 750 to 1.2 and just killing it because the numbers are all big, they're bigger deposits. He's doing more than us on average per deal. So that's his sweet spot. Every market's a little different. A lot of markets are in that kind of 2 to 6 though.
Okay. Now, when you buy these things, are you buying them on lease options and then selling them on lease options, or are you using a different instrument to buy them?
We buy them on lease purchase and then we exit rent to own, or we buy it owner financing where we actually take title, and like I said earlier, and then we still exit rent to own.
Does that only work when they own it outright, or are you doing like a bond for deed or a deed in lieu on some of these?
On the leases?
When you purchase.
On the lease purchase, most of them have underlying debt, so we're paying the mortgage company directly. And if there's some cash amount that they're, you know, equity that we agreed on, they're going to get that in the back end when our buyer, rent-to-home buyer, cashes us out.
Now, I missed this part of it, or it glazed over my head. How long are you holding the properties after you purchase them?
Typically? I like on the lease purchase 36 months. That protects the seller and any headaches relative to the capital gains potential issue, you know, the 2 out of 5 years. So mm-hmm. we don't put them in a tough spot. And then on the owner financing, I like 48 to 60, preferably, because we're buying it. And I like that principal mm-hmm. pay down. So 3 to 5 years typically.
Yeah. So it's critical when you do that you find, you can't find just a regular lease tenant. You have to find a rent-to-own tenant.
Yeah. That's you're asking for a headache there, right? To be a landlord. So we put them through, and I know there's differing opinions as you do on this topic online. You have mentors saying, well, who cares if they don't cash it out? You just do it again. I can't morally and ethically deal, you know, live with that. So mm-hmm. If you're a buyer, you're going to go through pre-screening with credit enhancement, with all the regular pre-screening, you know, criminal and all that. But relative to this, pre-screening to see when they'll be mortgage ready. What are the housing front end and back end ratios, debt to income, all that. If they look like they'll be mortgage ready within that term, then we accept them. If not, we're just setting them up to fail. So we don't put them in the home.
Yeah. Yeah. So you do a good bit of pre-screening beforehand.
Just yeah, we have to. Yeah. They pay for it too. It's $50 and we get a report back that says, yeah, they'll be mortgage ready by this time or not. And then we can call them and have a meeting with them if it warrants it.
Yeah. So what do you think, in your opinion, what is the thing that prevents people from getting started with this strategy the most? Because the strategy is, it's actually the best of seven different worlds, in my opinion.
Me too. I agree.
What do you think is the thing that holds most people back from doing it? Is it just a lack of understanding of how it works, or is it fear?
I think the latter. I think fear, lack of confidence. I think you'll agree with this. If you look at a lot of trainings out there, there's like this enormous gap, you know, people selling stuff and then deals. Well, how do you get there, right? The implementation. And so no one's kind of holding their hand. That's what we try to do with our family. Every single one of us are coaching these guys to really walk them through this. So I think it can be overcome, the fear and the lack of confidence, with the implementation. You know, if somebody's with you, holding your hand.
Yeah. That's a lot of people is they know things in concept. You read things in a book, and then, you know, a lot of people, you know, are, if they're action takers, they'll go out there and they'll just kind of figure it out. But then there's this whole element of, you're making all these mistakes. So, you know, when you're going out there and figuring it out and putting all the pieces together. So it's helpful to have someone kind of walk you through it. And that's what you guys do.
Yeah. You know, the analogy I gave recently, someone actually said it to me. They can't even take credit for it, but he said, Chris, what you're doing is equivalent to surfing. Cause I took surfing lessons once. I was miserable, came out with bloody shins. But the fact is, here's what they do. First, they put you on the beach, right? On the surfboard. So they say, oh, this is what you do. You get up and you do this, and you go, oh, that's easy, I can do that. And they put you in the water and it's miserable. It's the same thing with this. So I'm in a boot camp and I go, oh, that's easy, that's great. All the fluff, they give you all the good stuff. And then you go to do it. Well, okay, now what do I do to all these nuances that came up?
Right, right. No, that's exactly, that's a great analogy, because it's something that's, for most people, easy to comprehend. It's when you actually go out there, the little tweaks that are really the problem. Absolutely. What do you think is the biggest challenge that you have and what some of your students have in getting from point A to point B?
This one may surprise you, but I think it's just mismanaged expectations. And because here's what I mean by that. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people touting, you know, get rich quick, just do this and you'll have up millions of dollars in real estate. And it's just not the deal. You're going to work hard. You're going to have a better return, in my opinion, in your opinion, I'm sure too, than anything else you can do, but not mismanaging that expectation, thinking I got to get 5 deals in 6 months. It's just not reality. So I've had people set the wrong expectations and 90 days later, I can't find them. Well, what business would you do and try it for 90 days? It's just insane. You know, a banker would laugh at you if you said, I need to get a loan for this business I'm launching, and I'll give it a shot for 90 and see if it works. It's crazy. So you got to commit to this thing for at least a year, but I tell people 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's actually something that I say all the time as well, is that, you know, successful people don't say, I'll try this to see if it works.
No.
You know, it works. You know, it's been proven to work over generations and generations. Successful people say, I'm going to do this until it works.
Yeah.
And I think part of the problem is, would you agree that people understand real estate as passive income, which it is, but it does take a lot of work to get that knowledge in your head and to get out there and figure out how to do it.
Absolutely.
You know? And it's a set up and let it go, but you got to do some upfront work to get it going.
Yeah. And I always tell people, look, you and I talk to a lot of people, right? Both of us do. And I tell people, I'm not so naive to think everybody has to relate to me. Find someone you can relate to. Find a niche for us that you like, then someone you can relate to, then make sure they're doing the deals, and then don't let go of them for 3 years. You know, you'll have a great experience.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. So what's next for you? I mean, are you continually like trying to find new strategies, or are you just going deep in this one strategy?
We're staying with these three buy strategies. However, we've engineered what I call payday four out of a lot of deals. So it's more advanced for the students that are doing deals now. Payday four might be things like, okay, I had a building, a four unit that was owner financing. It was supposed to be 4 year term. We're at about 36 months. We got a nice offer on it. I call the owner and say, look, I know you're waiting another 12 months for your cash out. He's got 2 daughters going to college. How about, you know, if I could put a sale together, or if I could come up with the money, what would you take if I could get you cashed out earlier? And with one phone call, you pick up the 12, the 15, the 20 grand. So it's like a payday four that you didn't even plan on. And they, every single time, without a doubt, they give you some number. So things like that. So we're just tweaking what we're already doing.
Okay. So just, yeah. Yeah, figuring out a way. It's always great to figure out another way to get paid.
Yeah.
Right?
what can we eke out of this particular deal?
Right, yeah. Yeah, it really is a tremendous strategy. You can make any particular property a cash cow. You know, what do you do though? Is it a benefit when someone doesn't pay? How big of an option payment are you asking for people?
We make sure that they're in the 3-10% range. If they're at the lower end of that, they're going to do payments with us. It might be tax refund time. It might be had a state trooper that had retroactive sergeant pay he knew about. So he scheduled that as another payment, like $6,000. So we work with them and say, what's coming up? Are there raises quarterly? Are there distributions quarterly? And we get their deposit up higher and higher. It does a couple things, Ryan. It vests them more in the house, right? Number one. Number two, it puts them in a better position to win with the bank. They're probably going to get a better rate. They're going to look stronger. So it's, it's a great win-win. Do we have people that have life events that default regardless of how many times we screen them? Yeah. I mean, you know, you get 2 to 4 a year, unfortunately. So you either resell the property conventionally, or if you have more time left in the term, you put another tenant buyer in there. But because of the screening, that's not the norm. That's the exception.
Okay. All right. So that's different than a lot of people that do this, is the high level of screening.
Yeah. I hear it all the time. And so a lot of students would call me and go, that's what I liked about you guys, because you actually have a moral and an ethical compass that says you're going to help people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It feels really good to help people become homeowners again.
It's amazing. Know,
they're not able
they're
to
in tears. They thought they'd never do it. It's an amazing experience.
It's awesome. Well, what is the number one thing you would recommend for anybody looking to get started with this?
There's enough free material, as you know, all over the web. So it lets them on their own go do some due diligence and then do what I said earlier. Find a niche. There's so many. Don't get caught with the shiny objects, but find a niche that you'll just stay with and you won't look left or right. And then find a person in that niche that you can relate to that's currently doing deals. And then, like I said, don't let go of their shirt tail. Just stay with that head down for 3 years.
Awesome. So you've actually got a free training just to kind of go over some of these things in detail. It's about an hour and a half.
About an hour. If they can deal with listening to me for an hour, they get a free webinar.
if you enjoyed the accent, the Rhode Island accent.
Yeah, they get it all. So we do throw, like a couple grand worth of stuff in there, my book and a thumb drive with mastermind calls, you know, all kinds of cool stuff just for watching it. And then they can say, nah, not for me. Or, hey, I want to chase this down further. And they can look deeper into the home study course. It's simple.
Very cool. Well, we'll put this for anybody interested increasing your education on this particular topic. We'll put Chris's link in the show notes on our website for this podcast, and you can get started there. Is there anything else, Chris, that you would like our listeners to know about real estate and what you do?
No, they can find that at smartrealestatecoach.com. And then as far as them, like just do what you said. Don't let the fear get in their way and put the blinders on. You can do it. It's like you said, we're just a delivery mechanism, but it works. We just happen to be the delivery mechanism right now.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming on. Definitely some unique strategies there. I actually didn't know about the I knew about principal only payments. I didn't know that it was so effective so often. But that's really smart. So you have literally no debt.
Correct.
And also just recapping on some of the really awesome bullet points of this is, you know, it doesn't really matter what price or anything like that. What matters is the motivation. Once you have a motivated seller, you really can put into anything, you know, you can put terms in anything. And there are also a lot of benefits to sellers as well, like making it an installment sale so they don't get, you know, taxed on it right away.
Yeah, and more money sometimes, you know.
Yeah. Real quick, before we leave, before we got on the show, you were telling me about the $1 million deal that you guys are doing right now. Can you tell me a little bit about how that one got set up?
Yeah.
And how you structured it, how you negotiated it. Just walk me through that whole process.
Yeah, my son-in-law actually did it, the whole deal from start to finish. It took about 6 months. Believe it or not, it's a realtor. So a lot of these pieces will surprise you. Mm-hmm. It's a $1 million house. I think we did 945 on the water in Massachusetts. I don't know if you know Cape Cod, but it's towards mm-hmm. that direction.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, we did a 945. We broke the rule. We did 10,000 down. Now, it's very unique. People say, well, she's a realtor. Why didn't she just sell it? She's got a sick mom and she didn't want the stress of the house. And we actually let her, she's in the house now. And for every month, we own it. And for every month she's in there, we're not making the physical payment. We're letting her live there for free. But $2,500 a month is coming off of principal. And then when she moves out, and we put a tenant buyer in, we're going to then cut the checks for $2,500 principal every month. But it's going down right now without making a dime payment every single month. And I think that one was a 3 or 4 year term.
And what are you going to do with it once you own it? You're going to put a rent-to-own person in
it? Yeah, we closed on it already, but she's in it till the spring coming up. We have some options there, Ryan. We may do rent-to-own. We may actually Airbnb it. It's on the water. Not 100% sure. We're going to put it all out and see. We actually have realtors calling now conventionally, which I wouldn't mind. It's a few hundred thousand no matter how we do it out of this deal, probably $250,000.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Love hearing about the million-dollar deals. The great thing about those bigger loans is that the principal gets paid down faster. But in your case, the principal gets paid down.
Yeah, absolutely.
At 100% every time. Awesome. Well, real pleasure having you on, Chris. Definitely a ton of wisdom coming from you and lots of years in the field. And it was just great having you on our show.
Well, I appreciate it. Good to chat with you.
All right. Take care.
Boom. Thanks for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. You're going to want to listen to every episode as soon as it comes out because each episode has in it an idea or a strategy that could literally change your life. And listen, don't miss out on the free investor tools that I have for you on my website, cashflowdadlife.com. So go to cashflowdadlife.com and get your free swag. And listen, hit me up if you want to talk about how we can get you out of the rat race as soon as possible. Until next time, my name is Ryan Ank, and this was Cashflow Dad Life.